chapter 8. We're going to get right back in this. I told you on Wednesday to forget a little bit this morning. Think about it all week, but forget this morning part of what I shared. And I only mean that kind of, you know. But we've been going through and learning about the kingdom of God. And again, if you can just really quickly go back to the first week where we just really laid the foundations regarding the kingdom of God and laid down just kind of really the point that Luke was our starting point. Verse 9, Luke chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, what's the deal with the parable? And he said, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." In other words, when you understand the kingdom of God, people are going to think you're weird because they don't understand it. Don't be surprised. I often, when I hear certain Christians post things on social media, and they post Christian things on social media. Again, I'm a Christian. I'm like, okay, they do sound weird if you're being honest, just because of how they put it. In other words, there's ways we can say things because of our Christianese, and it really makes us sound weird. We really need to. You think about it. When Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, "You got to be born again." His answer would have been easily an answer that we'd see on, "What am I supposed to do? Go into mama's belly and be born all over again? Is that what I'm supposed to do?" Because it doesn't make sense in that way. But the point is that when you are spirit-minded, kingdom-minded, it's not going to make the same kind of sense to the heathen or to the world as it does to us, because they're not going to understand. But God says here, Jesus declares here, that He needs us to know about the kingdom of God. And so, John the Baptist came and said, "Prepare ye the way, clean out the way, it's coming." Jesus came and preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus went around teaching the kingdom everywhere He went. And so we saw that. Why? Because He wants us to understand. Now, it makes it very clear to me why there are many Christians, many pastors nowadays who are throwing out the words of Jesus. Which in itself doesn't make sense, because the words of Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And they use that every Sunday. But they don't like the other stuff. I have a book in my library that I had to read, and so basically I skimmed through it as quick as I could for college. It's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. In other words, there's a lot of things Jesus said that were like in your face, really strong, really hard. He didn't hold back. And so when you throw away the words of Jesus, you can feel a whole lot better about how you live and your sin and your ways of thinking. But you also throw away what you can receive. So the devil is going to make us, he's going to make it popular to throw away the words of Jesus, because Jesus, all He taught was the kingdom of God. Now, He taught it using a lot of Old Testament principles as far as that went. Act like that didn't happen. He had the Old Testament to look at. And on top of that, it was the Old Testament, it was the Old Covenant that He was living under. Now, He was the New Covenant, but He was living under the Old Covenant. That He was the sacrifice. He was the high priest. He was, of the New Covenant. But He lived in the time of the Old Covenant. I got to stop, because I could just keep going deeper into that. My point being is that he said, It is important. It is given for you to know the kingdom of God, the mysteries, the things that people, the heathen, the natural world doesn't understand. It is important for you to understand the kingdom of God. Because if you don't understand the kingdom of God, you can't live in the kingdom of God. And if you don't live in the kingdom of God, you can't enjoy the kingdom of God. And if you can't enjoy the kingdom of God, you're not going to really want the God of the kingdom. And if you don't want the God of the kingdom, you'll start serving the God of the kingdom of this world. And God wants us, we were created for His pleasure. And so He wants us to understand that. So that's why I kind of had it on my things to do list, things to preach list, the kingdom of God is like. I had it for quite a while. And it just moved on me, again a couple weeks ago. It's time. And now I'm in it. I'm like, my Lord, what took me so long to get in this thing? But over in Matthew 13, we see probably in one section the biggest gathering of parables regarding the kingdom of God. And again, he referred to it as the kingdom of heaven. Same thing. We see the biggest collection of them in one spot in Scripture. Again, it's not the end because I think we have seven or eight, nine that we're dealing with in this section. And then we have 15 or 16 overall. So when we get done with Matthew 13, we're halfway through. But the rest of them are scattered around, and this is all in one spot. And so he starts out the teaching at the beginning talking about the parable of the soils. And again, I think the parable of the soils need to be reminded to everybody all the time that Jesus is saying, if you ain't getting it, it's not the seed's fault. It's really, you know what? It's not even necessarily your pastor's fault. And you say, Pastor Thad, my pastor isn't preaching it very much, or he doesn't preach very good. Still your fault, because you're the one sitting under him. If you're the one sitting under him and he's not preaching it, then it's still the soil's fault. Anyway, but if you're not getting what you're believing for in the kingdom, it's not the seed's fault, it's the soil's fault, it's your fault. You need to change your receptivity to it. You need to start doing some stuff. Put some miracle in your soil. Miracle grow in your soil, right? So that you can receive it. But he goes to the parable of soils. And then he goes into the parable of the seeds and the tares. And we spent a little bit of time on that the last 2 weeks, so I'm not going to really spend a lot of time on it. But again, the man sows the seed, good seed, and then the quickness of this is God puts people in the kingdom or in the church. Satan will come at night and throw in some weeds, some tares that are there to try to get you to lose some harvest. And the point is that we don't need to be yanking and tearing people out and doing all that kind of stuff. We just need to love on them, and they'll leave on their own, or at the end of everything, we'll know. I do believe there's been a lot. I was thinking about this morning because there's been a lot of good prophecies regarding 2020. My dad's listened to a couple of guys that said 2020 is the mark. They said you'll notice a difference between 11:59 on December 31st and midnight 12:01 on January 1st of 2020. He said it'll be that quick on the flip and the switch on how things will change in the church world. It's brand new. Brand new decade, and it's going to be that different. It's going to be that different for the kingdom of God, and I like that. I like that. It sounds great. I know a lot of people who are going through some real heavy battles right now, and what I keep hearing them say is, I can't wait for 2020, and it irritates the fire out of me. Because that may, there may be truth there, but God's still a God of today. We need to quit thinking like, I can't wait until when, because finally. But the other side of that was this, is that, and I'm not sure why I'm saying this. Maybe it'll come back to me exactly why. But we gotta guard ourselves just hearing people say stuff like that, because again, we don't know. I started talking too much about that. I started giving too much detail, and then I get misdirected. So I was talking about the tares, about people sowed in the kingdom here. But the point is that I've heard in 2020 that if, and this is something that this man has said, that if the Democrats keep yelling, impeach him, impeach him, impeach him, and if they go through with it, it'll be the end of the Democratic Party. A prophecy has come forth for the same man. They said it'll be the end of it. He said, you watch it. It'll crumble, which we're already seeing some things like that. Not a political statement. But he's saying here that in time, I got to keep my train of thought here because I keep going on that part. They're coming in that, can I just say this before I lose my train of thought again? Just simply say that now I got to edit this booger big time because I got to keep my train of thought here. Don't put your trust in a necessarily the prophetic or anything on that order. The showdown. Remember showdown. If I lose my train of thought again, just yell out showdown. because I believe with everything, without hearing a prophetic word from someone else, I believe that we have entered into a time of the showdown between the fake or the tares and the seed and the good, the ones that are in the kingdom of God. I believe we've entered into a time of the showdown between that. And I believe that, my point was, is that I know that there's some words that are saying that here's all this kind of stuff, but you gotta always be cautious about that. Because I remember back, 7 years ago, when a prophet that I had heard is bingo, bango, bongo on prophecies prophesied that Mitt Romney was going to be in the White House. And then he got blown out, you know. And I'm like, I learned. I don't just take their word for it. But I'm telling you something that's in my heart. And of course, Scripture says it'll be like the days of Jimmy's and Jamborees, where it's a showdown between the godly and the ungodly. So we don't have to go pulling and prying and getting people out. It can frustrate a pastor for watching people who may not be pressing, may not seem to be pressing in like they should be pressing in. We'll get into a little bit here today. but it can be frustrating for a pastor. But the thing is that pastor doesn't need to sit there and, I mean, pray for them, love on them, keep track of them. That's your responsibility. The pastor doesn't have to be busy pulling and yanking and saying, hey, if you ain't going to go. I got a video that I saved on my computer that I just every now and then watch just for horror's sake, because I couldn't imagine being a pastor and thinking that this is appropriate. But a pastor called out he something like, hey, Mr. Smith, what are you doing amen in that? You haven't been here for 10 weeks. I thought you died, you know. How dare you come in here acting like you're going to be here and it's like, what? Come on, man. So I don't have to do that. Amen. But everybody's like, I hope he doesn't do that. Just give me. I don't have to do that. But see, the point is that there's going to come a time, and we're not very far away from it, I believe. I believe we've entered into that time where the real is going to be is going to manifest harvest. The not real is going to not. And so that's what that whole scripture, the whole thing's about. Matter of fact, There's one that we're not going to get to today, and I don't know if we'll spend that much time on it because of this one, spending so much time on this one. There's one coming up to about the dragnet, where they dragged the bottom of the, which I love the fact. They didn't drag the top of it. They dragged the bottom because bottom feeders is where they're getting all the good people in the church. Which, amen. They dragged the bottom of the sea. They brought it up, and all of them were together until they came time to separate, and then they threw the bad ones in the fire and then kept the good ones. But it's the same principle, is that, beloved, it's not our job to start throwing and tossing. It's our job to love. And there's a whole lot I could go into that, but I've preached on that. The third parable we talked about, shoo, that was a rough one, man. Having to try to remember that? Hallelujah. The third parable was the grain of mustard seed. And again, the key is this, is the kingdom of God is growing. If it's not growing in you, I believe it's safe to say this at all time. Examine your life. Examine where you were last year at this time. Are you closer? Are you further? Are you deeper in the things of God? Or are you further in the things of God, further away from the things of God? Are you more intimate with God? Are you less intimate with God? Examine yourself at all time, because the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed that grows. If you're not growing, then I mean, honestly, what it would say is you're least in the kingdom of heaven. What we need to understand is you're not going to operate in the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to you're not going to receive the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to enjoy all that God said you could have in the kingdom of heaven. So we've got to be growing. We've got to be pressing in to the kingdom. Last week we dealt with the area of the leaven. And again, I believe in context and in what he's saying here is that he's saying the same thing. Now, I recognize that we could easily bring just only point out the sin. And I've heard many, enough people use this illustration, this parable, just to point out the sin will grow in you. And I I'm not going to totally just say, you know, you can't use that on there, because no scripture is for private interpretation. I mean, you can see that in there. But I believe in context, what he just got done talking about with the grain of mustard seed and it grows, he's saying it's like leaven and it grows. And so whatever you allow in you is going to grow, is going to take over. If you allow the world in you, its intention is to take over in your life. If you allow the kingdom of God to work in you, it will take over your life. Again, whose choice is it? It's the soils. What you allow to grow in there. Amen. So again, we want the kingdom of God to grow. Now let's go to Matthew 13, verse 44, and we're going to kick in here. This is a one verse parable. And now he doubles down on it by using the next parable, which I think is a two verse parable, but as much information is given in the two verses as in the one verse. So I don't know, let's go ahead and read. Let's just read all three verses, I think it is. And then we'll start with verse 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like, so this is telling us how it operates, unto a treasure which is hidden in the field. Now, I can't teach while I'm reading this, but I'm going to at least point this out. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. It's something that'll change your life. It's something that'll take you out of the doldrums and bring you into the beauty and splendor of all that He has. It's a treasure. I got points I have to make in this, but people that do not value God, His kingdom, His things in His kingdom, they've not seen the treasure. They've not partaken of the treasure. And if you haven't partaken, if you haven't seen the treasure, you're not going to partake of it. You're not going to enjoy it. Amen. All right, I'm not getting in here because we got. It's like a treasure hidden in the field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buys that field. Go to verse 45. Again, now he's doubling down on the same basic analogy. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all he had and bought it. So we see two, literally two, and again, you notice these letters are a lot bigger than the other letters, so it probably could have been done in one, I don't know. But we see two parables given that really both of them follow the exact same pattern. Is there's something valuable, there's something of great price that is found. And matter of fact, go back to verse 45, I think it is, real quick, because I noticed the word there, that word in the fourth line, the first word, seeking. Go to verse 44. Now, it says, when he hath found, he hideth, but he hath found, gives us the same picture. I think verse 45 gives us the picture of what this man was actually doing. He was seeking. He was going after it. And so there's a desire in that man to find a treasure, to find this value, to find the beauty that is the treasure of this pearl. Now, the treasure is the kingdom of God and all that it holds, all that it offers to you. That's the treasure. Last Sunday morning, I kind of had a feeling right from the get-go that I wasn't getting to this parable. I wanted to so bad. But I knew that I had to get through some other ones to get there, and I wasn't going to rush just to rush through this one. I wanted to make sure this one had plenty of time because the more I studied it, it's a deep parable. There's a lot offered there. But I knew I wasn't going to get there, but I'd studied on it Saturday and Sunday morning. I'd really put some time and effort into it. And so we were singing songs up here. I believe last Sunday morning we sang something like, I think we sang the songs. And if we didn't, there's something like it, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed Jesus, took all my sickness. I am the prosperous through his poverty. I've overcome. We're singing that, and I'm just enjoying it, having fun, and the Holy Spirit goes, that's the treasure. I'm like, all right, cool. We get into a slow song. I think we may have sang something like the goodness of God or something on that order. And God goes, hey, that's the treasure. And every time we'd sing a new song, he'd just kind of tap me on the shoulder and goes, hey, that's the treasure. And I'd just get up and I'd be singing a song and he'd go, ah, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Because I've been studying on this treasure. And again, when people don't understand the goodness of God, then they think God's just after their money. That God's just after their time. That God's just trying to clutter their lives with more stuff. When they don't understand the blessings of God, then they think, God just wants me to hurt. The doctor could give me some medicine and ease my pain, but God just wants me to hurt a little longer. Or God wants me to go through the rigmarole. Maybe he'll heal me, maybe he won't. Because they don't understand the treasure. They haven't seen the treasure. But the treasure is everything that the kingdom of God has, everything that it holds, everything that is offered to you through the kingdom of God. And when you discover it, there's no price too big to get it. When you really find out the kingdom of God, halfway won't do it anymore. That was kind of what the Holy Spirit spoke to me in worship this morning. And again, I'm not saying anything about anybody. I keep my eyes closed for a reason, because I don't. There's sometimes I just need to, I need to focus in. But I keep my eyes closed for a reason, because I'm not a cheerleader, and the way I operate up here isn't based on how you're operating out there. But when the Holy Spirit tied those two verses together, basically, if you want the overflow of His blessings, then beloved, it's time that you start working from the overflow. That you start doing more than just what is convenient for you. Because again, when you've seen the treasure, it's okay to act a little foolish in praise and worship. Everybody here knows my favorite sport is football. I know some of you might think it's basketball. That's my favorite athletes are in basketball. My favorite sport's football. I could watch football. That's why it frustrates me when Kentucky has a bad team. Because I like Kentucky, I like football, and when Kentucky football stinks, it's really frustrating. I was watching a game the other night, and the other day, it was Kentucky Louisville, I'm passionately opposed to Louisville sports, just as much as anybody. Like me, the Kentucky Blue. But at the end of that game, Kentucky had won and really had blown them out. And one of the guys that was really important in the win, and he's won some awards. He was at midfield doing some interviews and just in the middle of the, again, I looked at it and I went, but he dropped on his knees and just began, I don't know if he was sobbing or whatever, but he was just overcome with emotions in the middle of the field, just dropped to his knees and just began, I think he just has head covered. So I don't know if he was sobbing or whatever, but he was overcome with emotion. And I was kind of like, stand up, dude. Now I love football. And I love the emotion of football, but I was like, settle down. It's a football game. You know, there were 40, you know, I guess 22 other guys from your team out there playing at the same time you. It's not all about you. Settle down, big guy. And again, it could have been a show. I'm not saying it was or wasn't. I'm just simply saying that's how I viewed it. But I was just thinking here a second ago is that I wasn't out there playing. I wasn't. Matter of fact, the guy's said that he's going pro after this season. So he maybe knew it was his last game on that field or whatever, and the emotions. But what I'm saying is that his the treasure of that game, the treasure of what he was doing, he knew it. It had him. It didn't really have me. I was glad we beat Louisville. Beating Louisville, it's always a good day. But for him, it was a treasure that was more than just they beat Louisville. How many times has I said Louisville today already? He said the whole week where he was being interviewed, he said the team in red. He said, we don't use the L word around here. It's a different treasure to him. Therefore, it was more passionate. He was more passionate about it. See, that's where a lot of Christians are missing it here, is because they have not really tapped into the treasure that is the kingdom of God. They don't understand the treasure that is the kingdom of God. It still seems like God wants your money, that God wants your time, that God wants all that kind of stuff, instead of that God has some value for you, and that if you will understand it, and therefore, most Christians are giving half best, going halfway, not really pressing into the things of God. When it comes time for praise and worship, it's a half a hand up. It's a half a hand up, and maybe, perhaps a slight foot tap. If the song, you know, maybe it's just a slight sway. because this is the overflow of my forgiven soul. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just simply preaching. So this is the overflow. Why? Because they haven't tapped into the treasure. It's the treasure. They haven't fully grabbed a hold of what the treasure is. Don't get nervous in the service, folks. This is what this is about here. So, in this one verse, and again, we're coupling them together, but they say the same thing in different words. I learned five things simply from this. And I'm gonna say this way because, again, I think this takes us full circle on the year. But I believe that the main lesson in this parable, and again, I've been preaching it, I've been talking about it, and it started the year with it, is passion. I think that's the major focus of this, is passion. Is when you've seen the treasure, it'll fill you with a passion. When you've not seen the treasure, you'll be ho-hum about it. But when you've seen the treasure, it'll fill you with passion. When it's revealed to you, there's nothing that will stop you. It's an eagerness. It's an all-out desire to have all that God has offered us in the kingdom. It's a point that I'm willing to sacrifice anything that hinders me from obtaining it. If there's something they say I must have to take it, if you don't have passion, you won't give it up. How about a 70-inch TV? How many in this place would like to have a 70-inch TV in there? All right, we got one. I'm not giving them out. This is an illustration. I thought maybe she was like, I'll try it. All right. So, Pastor Lisa, would you be willing to pay $1,500 for a 70-inch TV? $2,000. Now, again, some of you might be going, Pastor Ted, she didn't raise her hand. I know. Because it wasn't value to her. And so, you know, would you be willing to pay a dollar for it? Maybe, because you could give it, couldn't you? You see the value of that. But to give lots of money away for it, you don't see the value in that. So you're not gonna go out of your way to do it. Someone says, "Hey, I got a 70-inch TV. I'm going to give you." Say, "Bring it over. Yeah, I'll send my son over to pick it up," or whatever. Yeah, because there's value in that. That's where you see the value at, but you're not willing to go overboard and paying for it. Now, again, I'd probably ask Harmony the same question. She sheepishly raised her hand. Would you be willing to pay $1,500 for a 70-inch TV? Okay, see, yeah, now, but see, you've met the treasure. The treasure, I'm not going to go crazy on it, but now, there's a reason I'm showing this. Saying this. Now, my son, he had worked all summer between his junior and senior year of college, and he'd saved up and saved up and saved up and just, you know, put a lot of money back. And then he was going to end up spending it all just on living, and he wanted to have one big toy. So he said, "I'm going to get myself a 70-inch TV." And so he went out. Now, he did look for the best price. He looked for but he was going to pay like $1,200, $1,300 for it. He just was able to find some good deals at the time that he was able to get it for, like, I think $800, $900, something like that. But now the difference between him and Pastor Lisa is the treasure that they saw in a 70-inch TV. The 70-inch TV to her didn't have much value, so she was willing to say, I'd give a dollar, I'd give $5, maybe even $10 for it, because there would be value in me giving it away to somebody. But I'm not going to spend my hard-earned money. I got plenty of other things to spend that money on, because there's value in all these other things that I have, but not on the 70-inch TV. Now, Harmony said, if I found one on a good sale, maybe I'd be willing to spend this much, because she has a little bit more value on that. Now, Ryan, he was willing to set it on a higher because he really wanted that 70-inch TV. And I think it's fun to go there and play NBA Live on his 70-inch TV. But he had more value on it, so he's willing to give more. Now, I said all that to say this, and I think you probably can write the end of this analogy together. Is the kingdom of God, for most people, is like a 70-inch TV. Is you got some people that are like, I go to church on Sunday morning, and you know, it's fine. It's fine. The pastor preaches some good principled things, and I get to say hi to people that I haven't seen all week and stuff like that. And he tells me, he says, hey, you want to give him the offering? And I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing anything with this $10 bill. I'll throw that in the offering plate. That's cool. Because that's the value they see in the kingdom of God. You might get some other people who go a little bit further, and they might go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They might even bring their tithe into the storehouse. Because their value, they do have value on it, and it's at a higher level than what other people have value on it, but it's still not anything to go hog wild over. Still got to keep yourself within some kind of reason there. But then you got people who that, the kingdom of heaven, they've seen it. They know what it is. They know what it offers. They know that it's more than just your rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and 10 commands. They know there's value in it that's going to take me from amen to there it is. It's going to take me from not very much to more than enough. They've seen the value in it, and so they want to come whenever the church doors. They want to obey the scriptures that say, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. They want to obey that because they want to be in the kingdom of God and take all that it has. Get all that it has. They want to bring their tithe into the storehouse. They're excited about bringing the tithe into the storehouse. They're passionate about bringing the tithe into the storehouse. They're passionate about worship and about opening themselves up in worship and making themselves available to the things of God in praise and worship and make themselves susceptible to the move of God. They want more of that. Why? Because they want the 70-inch TV. They want the kingdom of God. They want all that it has. So they're willing to give all they have. But what if you just have $400, $300 left over? That's okay. I got the treasure. The treasure will take me to a new level. The treasure will take me and bring me to more than that. The treasure's about more than enough. The God of that treasure is the God of more than enough. Are you seeing this thing? Unfortunately, most Christians either live at the where Pastor Lisa was with the 70-inch TV, or where Harmony is with the 70-inch TV. They've not really developed. And I'm not accusing anybody in here of that. Please understand that. I'm just simply saying most Christians, because they've not seen the real value of the treasure. When you see the value of the treasure, it will consume you. Proverbs 2, verse 4, talking about understanding and knowledge. It says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. So in other words, when it comes to understanding, go after her like silver and like hidden treasures. Proverbs chapter 3. I tell you, this is a massive thing here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. So it's talking about wisdom. Again, that's operating in what you know to do. And the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that you can desire would not be compared to her. Again, it's showing you the value, showing you the treasure that about the kingdom. Psalm 19, verse 10, talking about the fear of the Lord. Says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Beloved, we gotta passionately want the things of God, the kingdom of God, knowledge, understanding, walking in what God. Because if we don't, beloved, then that's exactly what we'll harvest in the kingdom of God. Is not very much. So the main point is passion. The treasure, number two, the treasure is what Jesus provided. And again, I've talked to you a little bit about this already. I think that Philippians chapter 3 talks about the fact press towards the mark for the prize. Remember that? So we know Jesus is the mark. Jesus is the treasure. But when we find Him, when we really find Him, we're finding all that He provided for us. And so, I mean, I'm just going to read a couple. If John keeps up with me, cool. If he doesn't, then we're going to mosey down. We're going to sit in Ephesians 1 here in a moment. But in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's part of the treasure, is that though we are born into sin, He's made us the righteousness of God. We're right. We don't have to try to be right. We're right. We just get to live in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He is rich, for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty you might be rich. That's part of that treasure. I was thinking about it. I just inserted it before service when I was sitting down here. Beloved, these are all parts of the treasure. I had this picture in my mind, okay? But if you can imagine, some of you all have seen, there's a comic strip that shows up on Facebook every now and then of a tunnel where the guy obviously has been, has this pitch thing and he's pulling away, he's digging, and he gets to this point where the tunnel's like this, dug out, and then right here is just a massive amount of diamonds, and he's that far from it, and he just gets tired, and then it shows him walking away, and that's where most Christians live their lives anyway. But if I can present this just a smidgen smaller than you, for you, it's to have all this, and have that, and then hit a little bit of it, and have one of those diamonds roll out. And go, I found the treasure, and lay down the pickaxe and walk out. And that's where most Christians, that right there is where most Christians live their lives. Because they're trying to do just enough to be able to get that diamond of heaven. I got my sins forgiven. I got that treasure, and they walk out and they leave prosperity. I'm the righteousness of God. They leave prosperity. They leave 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. They leave that underground. That treasure hasn't been dug into. Now again, but my pastor doesn't preach it. Well, you're the soil. You can receive whatever you want to receive. Anyway, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So we got all these gold, all this stuff like that. But we found salvation. I'm born again. And that's the only revelation we have. And beloved, it's no wonder Christians struggle in their Christian walk. Because if I'm telling you that in 40, 50, 60 years, you'll finally get to enjoy the treasure. That's a long way. Again, can I say this much? Because some people are out there going, are you saying that's not going to be enough? Heaven's enough. Heaven, forever's enough. Right? And so I'm not working that down, or, you know, downsizing that. I don't know what the word is. But what I am, what is it? Denigrating? Okay. I'm not making that insignificant. But what I'm saying is that if you would find the fact that that one more swing of that axe, one more little bit of that digging, and you're going to find out that you can live a life that's happy. Live a life full of joy. Live a life full of wealth, of healing and all things that pertain to life and godliness that he's going to provide for you. Those are the people. Those are the people like Kenneth Copeland. Those are the people like Jerry Savelle. Those are the people that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and therefore they're willing to give it all up for the sake of the call. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'll do this one kind of as quick as I can, but this is what we got to find. If we will find this, the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus said, man, I passionately want you to get a hold of this. I pray for you all the time concerning these four things. Because if you will get a hold of these four things, it'll change everything you do. Because if you get a hold of these four things, you'll get a hold of the treasure. And if you get a hold of the treasure, there ain't nothing that you won't give for that treasure. Verse 17, he says, I pray that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, know who he is. He is not the God who's a killer, stealer, and destroyer. No matter how many other pastors say he is, he's not. Knowing who he is, that he's a healer, a provider, an ever-present help in time of trouble, a God of increase, a God of more than enough, knowing those things will change the way you act. Change the way you see him. Change the way you give. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, I meant to write all this kind of stuff. Who you are. When you know who you are, you are, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It'll change the way. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance, what you have, when you understand what you have. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed for them. I want them to understand this, because if they get this, it'll change everything. It'll change their passion. Beloved, if you don't have a passion for the things of God, the house of God, the Word of God, the presence of God, if you don't have a passion for that, you've not tapped into this. You've heard it, but you've not tapped into it. It's not a revelation. It's not rhema. The difference between rhema and logos is logos you hear, and it was nice. Rhema, it'll light you up. Like someone set your pants on fire. It's going to get you moving. And they say, I want you to have rhema of this. Because if you don't have rhema of this, it won't change you. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power towards us that believe according to his mighty power? In other words, what you can do. Who you are, what you have, what you can do. When you get a hold of that, that's treasure. That's the treasure God wants you to understand. I thought about this. Acts 4. The very last part of it, it tells the story of a man named Barnabas who had a picture of the treasure. And it said Barnabas sold his land off, sold all he had, and gave it to the church. That was a man who had a picture of the treasure. He realized, I can give everything I have away, and it's all going to come back to me again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken in, and running over. Chapter 5 is a man and his wife who had land, sold it all, and kept half of it back. Didn't want to give it all, but acted like they gave it all. Those are people that didn't see the treasure. They wanted the man-made glory. They wanted people patting them on the back. They didn't see the treasure. There's another story in that account in Mark 10, a man named Rich Young Ruler. Testing. There you go. Thank you. But the rich young ruler, he didn't see the treasure. Okay, all right. Do I have it written down here? I do have it written down here. So if it's written down, I have to read it. All right. Does that work? Is that a... He walked away sad because he didn't see the treasure. He just saw what was demanded. Now, we always say this. What's always the transfer from after he walked away to that second part that Jesus talks? What do we always say? The reason he walked away sad is because he left before the end of the sermon. I'll just help you out. Is that the reason he walked away sad is because he left before the end of the sermon. Which is why too many people don't know the treasure. It's because they don't stay for the sermon, the whole sermon. They're missing too much. All right, I'll just let that stay. That hit me. Again, God talks to me talks through me before he talks to me, as he's talking to me. And that hit me because we say that all the time. He didn't stay for the end of the sermon. If he had stayed for the end of the sermon, he'd have realized everything I'm giving away, giving away mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, all that kind of stuff, selling it all. That's this illustration, right? I get it all back 100-fold. He would have done it if he had stayed for the end of the sermon. And too many people are missing what God has for them. Let's go to number 3 before I get stoned. I have to try to move quickly here, but we'll see. Because I really don't want this to go into next week, but number 3. So number 1 was the main lesson's passion. The number 2 was the treasure is everything that Jesus provided for us. Number 3, to get the treasure, it takes digging. We see it specifically, very clearly, in the next one where the merchant goes seeking for it. I mean, it's not something that's... and apparently, the treasure that this man finds on another man's property is not... The man doesn't even know about it. The one that owns it. So it's nothing that man just was walking and just glanced out there and said, what is that out there? Because the man that owned that property probably had walked by that same area hundreds. This man was on his property digging, getting deeper, taking his time to dig in deeper. Matter of fact, the picture that I got in this, this treasure, was again not something that was just laying out in the field, but it was like what we would think of like as a gold mine or a silver mine, something that would be like a tunnel down there to set up, to start digging. Somehow, for some reason, this man was on this other man's property and started doing that. He started digging on his property and found. Maybe he didn't know it was his property to start with. Maybe he was just digging. Maybe, you know, I know when the guys were younger and they'd go over to the Bailey's house and they'd go over to the creek and just walk up and down the creek and all that kind of stuff and do and have these little mini adventures. I did that when I was a kid. I had these little mini adventures. That's kind of what this man, I think he wasn't playing, but he was doing that. But it was not on the surface. It was something that was hidden, that was digging. And when he found it, it was wealth that would keep on giving. So it says when he discovered it means that it was something that was hidden and he had to dig in deep. The man who had it didn't know it was. Too many Christians don't know what they have. Why? Because they've not dug in. They hear their preacher preach a very nice sermonette for Christianettes and can't figure out why they're not tapping in to all of what God has for them. And again, I'm not picking necessarily on pastors per se. Yes, pastors are held responsible for what they preach. There's a lot of times that I start, the enemy loves to work with me on preaching a long time. Now again, I don't preach as long as some people, and I preach longer than some people. But you know what? To get deep in the things of God, you're not going to be able to just pop it out there in a few minutes and get it. You're going to have to dig. Again, this story here could be preached in 20 minutes, but not preached well. Not preached with understanding. Deep understanding. On the surface, people see rules, regulations, limitations of Christianity, what we can't do, what they have to do, can't drink this, can't do that, can't say this, because they've not dug in to understand. Why do you need to control your tongue? Is it just a control issue by God that He just doesn't want you to control, He just wants you to control your tongue? No. If the deeper you dig in, the more you find out that your body responds to what you say. If you start saying, man, I feel like I'm getting sick, those words immediately shoot out to your body and they say, hey, guys, watch out. And you say that and you'll start feeling like you. And God knows that. He made your body. If you want casual participation, you're never going to find the treasure. You got to dig in. This man was digging. Can you dig it? Amen. All right. And again, I think that's sufficient on that. But to get the treasure, it's going to take work. You're going to have to dig. Number four, there's a cost. If you want the pearl of great price, there's a cost. If you want the treasure that's going to change your life forever, again, I think we do a disservice. I know why we're saying it, that it's a free gift. I recognize it's a free gift. I recognize that Jesus did the work, He paid the price, and that you don't have to do anything except Him to be born again, to get into the kingdom. But if you're going to prosper in the kingdom, there's a price to pay. And you're fooling yourself if you think there's not. And I'm not saying it's a hard price. No, I got to make sure I separate these two here. Can I leave space if you're going to keep taking notes?
because I'm going to say there's a cost in getting it. And I'm going to give you number five and then come back to number four, because number five means that this man, he joyfully did it. And number five, just simply, when you see the treasure, it'll be done willingly. And I talked a little bit about it, the joyful, the willingly on Wednesday night. That was the part I told you to forget about a little bit, but now kind of redraw from it. In other words, when you find the treasure, you're not going to have to try to build, I'd be told what to do. That man didn't go, isn't that funny? Because there's nowhere in there with the pearls or the treasure that either the merchant or the man, neither of them went and asked the price. That marked something in me. Not one of them was saying, what's the price for this? They set the price and what was the price? Everything. All. I'm giving it all. I'm giving it all to tap into His presence, to tap into the kingdom, to enjoy the kingdom. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven if you haven't gotten this far. If you're not to this place of wanting it all. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I believe there's going to be a lot of Christians that go to churches that don't know any better that we'll see in heaven because they knew enough about the treasure that there's heaven. But Jesus did not die on the cross just for us to go to heaven. I love the fact that there's heaven. He died on that cross so that we could live in the fullness of life right here and right now. But there'd be a cost. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It's a price. Lay aside sin. Lay aside things that are getting you off track. But you know what? When you've seen the value of the kingdom, that's not a hard thing to do. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. This one brings... Remember my book, The Hard Sayings of Jesus? This is one. Luke 44, 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's a hard saying. That's price. It's cost. Beloved, don't nod, don't shake, keep your face straight, stare at me. What's the limit to what God could ask you to give and you would be obedient promptly? I just want you to stare ahead and think on that thing. Because again, there may be some of us going, I'd empty out my bank account. I'd give, if God told me to do it, I'd empty out my bank account. There may be some of us that would say, because that's where we end. Because some of us are thinking, I've got $45 in my bank account, so yeah, it's no big deal. I'm not God, so I'm asking. There's cost. How about your house? How about your car? How about your wardrobe? How about your shoe collection? How about your child? I'm not saying kill him. I'm just saying let him go to the ministry. Let him go overseas. So I get it. Because there's so many things I'm going, but how would I? But what would I? All I'm saying is that I think for most of us in this room, we've seen a lot of that treasure. And we have partaken in so much of it. And just a generic thing here, if this represents all the treasure we can have, beloved, we're probably somewhere in this vicinity. Where we've made ourselves that much available, I mean, that's tithe and a big offering. And I'm not saying that God's telling anybody in here, this room, to give bigger, give more, whatever. I'm not, you know, give everything. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just want us to see here that when you understand what the treasure is, and it's beautiful, and it's glorious, you will willingly toss aside everything else and go gung-ho and say, I want it all. I want everything. And there will be nothing of your natural self that will hold on. There'll be enough. Amen. The Apostle Paul in the Philippians said, I've got all sorts of stuff that I could glory in. But all the stuff that I could glory in, it's like dung when compared to the kingdom and the things of God. The rich young ruler, if he'd have paid the cost. Now his was, God told him the cost. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor. But again, he didn't stay for the end of the sermon, because the end of the sermon said, verily I say unto you, no man has left house, brethren, sisters, fathers, mothers, or wives, children, or land for the sake of the gospel. No one's given away at all. But he received 100-fold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecution, and in the days to come, eternal life. In conclusion, oh goodness, I told you I didn't want to go. Let me just, real quick, four simple things. These are things the Holy Spirit showed me what may have to give up. Sin or your old way of living. If you're still trying to figure out how you can live in your sin and still operate in the kingdom of God, you haven't seen the treasure. Suffice. Number two, money. Willingly. Giving. The Israelites caught a glimpse and gave willingly. The Philippian church caught a glimpse and gave willingly. Number three, friends. Are you being doled by your old friends? Because iron sharpens iron. Iron does not. And number four, your time or your distractions. Do you understand that God will never ask you to do something that will steal away from His calling on your life? He'll never tell you to do it. I'm not saying that He won't call you to do something that'll take more of a demand on you, but He'll never ask you to do something that'll steal away from your call. Because He's just not, because of this kingdom. But there may be some distractions that you have in your life that... Amen. Let's stand together. I could, some of y'all going, Pastor Thad, you preached a sermon that you kind of gotten businesses and gotten, I could have gotten worse. Every now and then you all need to go, thank God Pastor Thad's my pastor and not someone else. Hallelujah. But that illustrates, that parable has been with me all week long. Since middle of last week, just when God showed it to me in correspondence with the joy of the Lord on Wednesday, I was like, okay, I get to teach on a little bit. Cool. But man, what's the kingdom of God to you? Is it just rules? Is it just stuff? Is it just, you know, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? Or is it a treasure? Is it something that you'll tap into and totally change you? Change everything about you? Because it's at that point that you'll start tapping in to the benefits. See, until that man purchased the field, he couldn't get any of it. If he'd have gotten any of it, it would have been stealing. He had to give it all. He had to go all in before he could enjoy. Beloved, I don't know about you. I know about me. Let's go in, let's go all in together. Let's go after the kingdom of God with everything we have. When the enemy's trying to work on us to try to say, but again, I mentioned this on Wednesday night about the man's treasure, what he gave up. It says he gave everything, which means he could have given up the pocket watch that Grandpa gave him, that's been passed down through generations and had a really sentimental meaning to him. But he said, you know what? I'm going to get Grandpa's back. I'm willing to give that up because this treasure's bigger than that watch. He maybe gave up his 70-inch TV. Yeah, but I paid. But you don't know, you're not seeing the treasure, because that treasure is bigger than 70 inches. Amen. Are you with me here? Let's go all in, baby. Let's do this thing with all we have. Because that's the coolest thing, is that when we do it together, then we partake in it together.